Have you been speaking into the microphone lately? I think you did a bit better with that last week, didn't you?
You tell me.
I think you did, because I did actually play it back.
Do you? Was it a good podcast?
I think it was all right.
All right, you're the expert on framing. How are we framing? Can I make a silk purse out of a sow's ear, that sort of thing?
I mean, not bad.
We're looking all right.
About as good as it's going to get.
A couple of 40-year-old white guys.
Exactly.
Hanging out in West Auckland,
on a
having
podcast.
A couple of talking shit. Talking rugby, having a couple of beers.
Exactly.
Rugby,
we love podcasts. Everyone's got a podcast. I was just saying that to you off camera. Like,
you were.
Half of my YouTube feed is like podcasts with 10 views for some reason. YouTube is like, this man needs more podcasts in his life.
Yeah, I think I get that too because I watch our podcast.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, wow, if you like that shit.
Yeah. If you
excuse my language, but it's on my channel. I got to clean it up.
Yeah, you got to clean it up. I'm not taking that. If you do SHITs, I'm not taking that.
Oh, that's satisfying.
That is satisfying. A beer, isn't it?
Yeah, very.
If you're in a part of the world where it's okay to have a beer right now,
crack one open
and have a beer too.
How have you been, Tony? You well?
Yeah, I've been well. Let's go through rugby podcasts that you're aware of. Okay, so.
There's a lot I don't know the names of.
Rugby Recap with my man.
With your man Tim and
rugby
your man Hamish.
Yeah, and to be fair, not the biggest podcast, but quality stuff.
Exactly right. I'll admit, I haven't caught an episode of Rugby Recap for a little while.
Okay, well, I don't think it was suggested to me.
But I do know both of those guys personally. So I never met them.
Have you had sexual relations with either of them?
Not yet.
Playing your cards.
But don't put anything off the table.
Okay, all right. Slow playing it.
Exactly.
Great stuff. Speaking of the Kiwi lads, he put me in stitches in the weekend.
Okay, what did he do?
I was watching the Crusaders. They were losing to the Highlanders.
Yes.
And I wrote in the comments.
We have got the come on, Landers watching the Saders lose is more arousing than porn. So yeah, I'll tell you what, Tony, that's going to kill your boner because that's gone out wide. And Severus scored it.
Crusader scored.
The Crusader scored right in that moment. He's
pretty sharp, isn't he?
He is. Something I hate to kill your boner, Tony. Like, just came out. Boom.
Damn.
Straight shooter. He is sharp.
He's a good man.
Yeah.
Hamish from the Kiwi Lads.
Yeah. Okay. That's a boring game talking about all the various podcasts.
There's a lot.
There are a few. And if you're listening to us, we know you have a choice of rugby podcasts.
You have so much choice. If you've ended up on this one,
you've made some poor decisions.
Wow. Maybe have a good look at yourself.
Look at yourself hard.
Yeah. I wonder what you're doing with your life.
Where did it go wrong for you?
Exactly.
It's okay.
I think we probably have a point of difference.
We talk more bullshit than most other rugby podcasts.
Do we all? Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. We've barely spoken about
it. We do have a distinct advantage. We have a difference in that we don't have any international players on our podcast. Maybe that's the difference. I'm sick of listening to all these guys who've actually played international rugby. There's too many of them. Give me a podcast with two fat 40-year-old New Zealanders
who played very low level rugby.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, you didn't play rugby at all really growing up, did you?
Just schoolyard stuff. I was a beanpole.
You still are. I had to break it to you, Sunshine.
Okay.
You're a slightly thicker beanpole.
I was a very thin beanpole back in those days.
You were
I was a fast bowler. Think fast bowler, that's what I look like.
Like a Glenn McGrath. Just
less angry.
He's also a prick.
So, okay, there you go. We've got that in common.
Yeah.
Oh, Glenn McGrath.
No, I played rugby at school.
Mm.
Played up to the first 15. Mm. Then they started training in the holidays and I got dropped because I didn't turn up.
Right.
But, you know.
Yes.
And that was it.
Now, we used to play rugby at lunchtime. We used to play bull rush. That goes by a lot of other names around the world, but it's the game where you have to run from one side of a field to another and someone in the middle is trying to catch you.
Yeah.
And if they catch you by tackling you, then you join them as one of the catchers.
Wasn't that thing you used to say, it was a big call out. You'd be like, all right, you pick one person to run. To run at you. So you pick
the one you think you can get, the slowest.
The one you can smack.
The slowest, but not that big that you can stop.
And then if you really want to go chaos mode, you yell, bull rush.
And then everyone runs. Or if the person makes it across and that's also bull rush and everyone has to run.
And there was always a satisfying feeling if you like everyone was in and you somehow still managed to
get through. So I played that. We were good. And then one of the first 15 boys would play and I'd be like, I'm not very good. I thought I was good because I'm like 6 foot plus. All my mates are these scrawny little white dudes. Not all of them. I mean, we had one big Filipino dude who was like morbidly obese as a high school guy, and he was pretty hard to tackle.
We used to play a game where we'd put our bags into like a mountain of bags, basically, and at lunchtime, and then we would get a ball, any sort of ball, and there'd be two teams. And you just basically throw the ball around and like try and get it off the other team, tackle the other team. It was just, it could go anywhere, could morph anywhere around the school basically, on the grass. Wow. And then once the bell went, it was a battle to get back to the bags.
Wow.
And whoever had to get the ball back to the bags, you know, whatever team that was, won. And it would be like this massive like pile on.
Jeez. And it would just sounds like that Georgian game that they play between like two towns.
Got pretty chaos. Yeah, it was quite fun. It was just like one of those organic games that sort of came out of nothing.
We had one at PE time because we had to do PE class with another class, and the boys from our class would just grab basketballs and we would throw them at the boys from the other class. It was just like dodgeball, but there's no outs. You're just trying to hurt each other.
Sounds like fun.
Until they told us to stop playing that.
Yeah. What fun games did you play at school that didn't?
This is riveting.
Yeah. Came here. So much happened over the weekend. Listen to these wankers talk about inconsequential like bullshit games. But if you had any strange games, tell us in your comments.
What did you play at school?
But it wasn't not a traditional sport. Like not even something a traditional a game. Something that just sort of organically happened.
What did the teachers ban you guys from doing because it was too much fun?
Yeah.
Basically. Sam Kane.
I was about to say something very inappropriate.
Sam Kane.
Sam Kane. What a man.
He's retired from international rugby.
Yeah, that's sad.
It's interesting because he was contracted through to come back to New Zealand for next year.
Mm. It seems a bit strange to me. I feel like he had, like, we all know what happened in the World Cup final. And
he got a red card.
He did. And that sort of stuff.
That's probably part of the reason we lost.
Probably.
I think it's easier to win when you've got 15 players on the field.
Yeah, it would have been it definitely would have been an advantage. Probably would have helped us get another point or two.
Before someone gives me shit about it, he did have very poor tackling technique, which is the reason he got red-carded. Yes,
exactly. He got red-carded. It wasn't an outrageous red card.
It was one that you looked at it and go, oh, shit, he's in trouble. I've got to stop swearing. This is on my channel.
Exactly.
Oh, bother.
Oh, bloody hell. Can you say that?
Yeah, probably.
Okay. At the time I saw it and I was like, oh, gee, I had a horrible feeling.
Yep.
And kind of just hoping there was kind of like some sort of mitigation. Yeah. Because
sometimes they pull some mitigation out of nowhere. Yeah, and you're like,
there's a bit of mitigation.
Yeah, exactly. But
sadly, they didn't pull a bit of mitigation.
So his last action as an All Black will be being the captain who got red carded.
Not necessarily.
He could get selected this year, you think?
He could get selected this year. I feel
will he, though?
Yeah, he's not giving himself the best chance.
Not really. But apparently, he's spoken to Razor.
Yeah, right.
And Razor was just like, that's all right, mate, you can go. I'll support you.
All right.
He understands the reasons and he supports the decision. Do you think if it was Artie Savia, Razor just goes, I support your decision, or no, come back, Artie, we need you.
It's hard to say with Razor because Razor is such an out-of-the-box kind of thinker.
Yeah.
Like, it's all about
feelings. He seems to be, at least from the way the media reports it here in New Zealand, Razor seems to be absolutely jonesing to get all the Crusaders boys back. Oh, he wants Sam Whitelock back.
Yeah.
Which Sam Whitelock apparently came out and was like, nah, we just had a chat. Like,
He wants Mwanga back.
Yeah, he wants Mwanga back. He just wants all these Crusaders boys back.
But I thought Sam Kane went through a torrid period with the loss to the Irish series loss, which to be
had a few unfortunate firsts. I mean, the Irish team was on the up and up at that point. We lost to Argentina under him, I believe.
A couple of times.
Yeesh.
First time in New Zealand under him.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like, it wasn't awful. They still had a 71% win record over the last four years.
Made a World Cup final.
Got to a World Cup final. Played the house down in that semi-final. And I thought he played really well in Super Rugby last year. I thought actually 2023 was a pretty bloody good year for him rugby-wise.
Yeah. There was a lot of talk about when we went into that year, it was like, is he even as good as Dalton Papali'i? Dalton should be the starting seven. And then Sam Kane just tore it up that year.
Yeah, I thought he was much better than Dalton Papali'i. So I still think Dalton Papali'i can find hopefully he could find another league or two.
Mm.
So he's not quite that level yet, I don't think. But I think it's a shame. I think there's still rugby left in that bloke.
32 years old, though. Is it the right time? He says it's basically to set up his family. So basically, ka-ching, ka-ching, take some money, going to move the family over to Japan. They're going to play for Suntory, I think, for 3 more years. So,
what do you think the psychological impact of happened to him? One thing I've been kind of impressed with New Zealanders of late after the World Cup was we're really hard on our rugby players.
Yeah.
When they muck up, we come down on them very, very hard. But I have seen very, very little anger or hatred.
There was a lot more anti-Sam Kane stuff just during his regular captaincy. Yeah, he wasn't really doing anything wrong. He was just being this grunty, hard-tackling number seven who doesn't really give the most inspiring postman. And he put his foot in his mouth a couple of times when once he was like, well, you know, the fans sometimes get a bit miffed. But they don't see what goes on. They don't understand. Like, when you start putting it kind of us and them with the fans, you're not really going to endear yourself to anybody.
We can see the heartbreaks across his face, and I think everyone was just like...
But once he got
has to live with that.
Yeah, when he got that moment, which would have been the ultimate, like, let's lay into a moment, everyone was just like, oh, man, you poor guy.
Yeah, this was just an outpouring of sympathy and empathy for him, which was actually kind of nice, isn't it? Because I kind of thought...
Because we've been hard on him...
For years.
He's definitely been one of New Zealand. Because in New Zealand, I think every country has that one player that everyone's like, that guy shouldn't be in the team. Someone else should be in the team. Like, he was that guy for New Zealand for quite a while.
And but he's not going to have the same rugby, the All Black rugby captain, All Black captain treatment that most past players do. Like,
that's right.
Kieran Reid and Richie McCaw.
Yeah, still
Sir,
well.
Sean Fitzpatrick. You know, these guys revered are armchair ride. They could get endorsement deals for everything forever and ever and ever. Amen. Even still guys like Colin Meade still do. You know, like they still get. Pine Tree, did he die?
He did. I was thinking about that for a second. I was like, wait a minute. No, I'm pretty sure he's dead.
But he did, though, didn't he?
Alex Wiley still keeps doing stuff.
Chris Wiley still does. But these guys are even like, but then you could
they
have.
They still
like,
pop up on New Zealand TV selling like garages. Yeah. Usually it's farming equipment.
Yeah, a lot of farming equipment. Yeah, when the tractor breaks down, sometimes you just got to have an oil you can rely on. This is why you sheep shagger shit.
You guys outside New Zealand don't get these, like they're quite wooden. Like these guys are great rugby players who are not really made for genuine homes, a home you can trust.
But you can just have, in New Zealand, you can have like one really amazing moment that can save your career. Case in point, Beaver.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Stephen Donald.
Yeah.
He's set for life just after from that the one kick. And even Grant Elliott, that one, that big six that
from
he
cricket,
hit.
Yeah.
Against South Africa to get us into the
hero,
World Cup final.
Basically.
Like, pretty, you know, a journeyman player for a lot of his career. Same with Stephen Donald.
Yeah.
And they have these big moments and now they're revered forever. And,
whereas
I don't think
Sam Kane's
not going to get that. No.
So
he's like,
got to make that money in Japan.
He's got to make that chin now.
Not going to sell some garages.
Five short.
Of 100.
Of the century.
Yeah, 95 caps.
Wish him all the best, eh?
It would be nice for Razor to give him 5 caps, but that's a lot of it. That's a huge chunk of the season. The All Blacks don't get that many caps per year, and ultimately he's going to be looking forward.
Maybe we give people some timestamps in this one, but because there's a lot of good Super Rugby to talk about. Yep. But before we do that, what do you think the loose forward unit looks like for the All Blacks right now?
Man, there's some guys really, really playing well. Like when you were just talking about Dalton Papali'i earlier, and I was thinking, well, the one guy actually standing out in that Blues loose forward trio is Hoskins Satutu, and he's just extended for 2 more years. Like, he didn't even make the Rugby World Cup squad. There was talk that he's had a falling out with Ian Foster, and to me that basically meant he's going overseas. Like, there's no way he's sticking around.
He's looking outrageous.
Yeah,
and like one of the knocks on him has been his defense, but his defense is aggressive.
Yeah, it's good.
Like, and insane, and his ball in hand, he even kicked the ball bloody.
Yeah, I know.
You almost did a 40-20, 40-20,
40-20,
60-80, 90. Stop turning the game into rugby league. said by people who don't watch rugby league. 50-22. He's just an incredible athlete, and he seems to be more of a powerhouse at the breakdown.
Whatever he did in the off season, it's serving him well.
He got the butt between his teeth. That's what it looks like to me.
And then I think we're going to have Artie Savia back available.
So him
at 7, Hoskins at 8.
Yes. Talk to me, baby.
And then who do we put in at 6? You got a few guys who can play a bit of six.
I think we've got two power players.
You've just gone limp if you're listening to this. Tony's microphone, boom arm. Just imagine a teenage boy who'd seen something very attractive only to have Donald Trump walk in front of him.
Exactly. It went very flaccid very quickly, that. Okay.
Nothing against Donald Trump, but yeah.
What was I saying?
Maybe lots against Donald Trump's career.
I'm not a fan.
Maybe you should just cut this bit out. Okay, cut out the politics.
Screw you, Donald.
Donald Duck.
What were we saying? So who's number six? There's a few guys.
There's a lot of guys who can play a bit of six. Jacobson can play pretty much anywhere across the back row. He's playing
But the guys in the Crusaders aren't putting their hands up. Was it Grace
Blackadder comes back and then he's injured again. Yeah.
You know what?
Some of the Canes loose forwards are playing bloody well as well. But they've got Brad Shields playing six a lot of the time.
He's looking all right.
But he's played for England.
Oh, shit. That's irritating. Don't do that, Brad.
Yeah, exactly.
Kiriwani? No, not quite.
And that guy, Braden Yorsey, is having a killer season, but he's also a number eight mainly. So
give Cigna a crack.
I don't know about Cigna.
No, Hoskins Satutu is by far and away the number one. Like, loose forward playing Super Rugby right now, in my eyes.
Form-wise. Yeah, but something like Luckeye for the Canes is playing well. It's a lot of...
Yeah, we'll see. A lot of good loosies, a lot of good outside backs as well.
So I don't see Sammy playing any more games, but as we said, serving for New Zealand Rugby got a bit of a hard deal.
But I reckon maybe... I'd be happy with either Dalton Papali'i...
Forgot about Dalton, actually.
Dalton Papali'i or... Sam Kane, to be honest. Just going on...
Sam Kane can play six as well.
Yeah, going 2023 form. Him then being at seven.
What about Akira Iwani? Is he not going to make it?
He's just too unreliable. He's a number eight for me as well. But yeah, Savea at six. And Chuck Hoskins at number eight. And bring Akira off the bench.
There you go.
To go smack someone. In a legal way, not head-on-head.
Keep it legal.
Keep it legal. Yeah, but yeah, no. Good on you, Sam. What a legend.
That was a bit of news.
Bit of sad news, but it is what it is.
Before we talk Super Rugby,
what do you want?
We talk some rugby laws?
You know, nothing gets me hard like rugby laws.
Tony.
Yes.
What do you think? Was having a wee rant prior to recording.
What are you talking about? I was not having a rant. I am a person. What do you think? Okay, let's pretend we didn't have a conversation before.
Does Tony not want that conversation to be recorded?
Okay, let's have a your
comments. Stand by your comments.
Yeah, okay, all right then. Let's not throw stones in glass houses.
They changed three laws in their kind of latest meeting of World Rugby in May. One of them is to get rid of croc rolls. A lot of people are kind of like, I thought they already got rid of croc rolls, but it's that kind of twisting action when guys are...
So even if you get somebody around the ribs and stuff...
You can't twist them out of the way. You've
got to push them forward.
That's going to be the breakdown's already very hard to police.
Very technical.
Yeah, I mean, some people say, oh, I thought that's what the All Blacks got a yellow card for in the final. Remember when they got Bongi?
Yeah.
Was it Frizzell? He got Bongi. That was more because he dropped the weight on him. You've not been able to do that for a long time. Yeah, basically. You're not allowed to do that, but they've made things even stricter. I don't think many people are like, oh, God, I want more croc rolls.
But it makes me go, oh, more laws at the breakdown.
Yeah,
oh,
that's the one thing I'm also a little bit hesitant
and
about.
And it's so hard to get a guy off the ball when he is...
planted like a tree.
Yeah, when he's planted himself and
you can't hit him with your head.
Yeah.
You can't roll him there. It's tricky.
Have to stand there and go,
yeah, your ball.
Yeah.
Yours. You got there first. So croc rolls is one. The DuPont law being next is another.
Most people can agree on.
It just made the kicking battles look funny when guys were just standing there in the middle of the field waiting to be played onside by the catcher running. Yeah. And then they would just not run.
And the third one I know, they got rid of scrums altogether.
Exactly. No more scrums.
No more scrums ever.
And they're going to take two guys off the field, so it's going to be 13, and they're going to limit phases to six.
Six tackles each. You know, so I can understand the outrage because no more scrums. That's why there was so much outrage. I guess that was the law, wasn't it? Because there was so much outrage about three free kicks that happen every game. But, like, there was that it? No more scrums?
No scrums from free kicks.
Oh, is so it just free kicks?
When you get a free kick, you can only choose to tap,
yeah, right,
or you can choose to kick.
Cool.
And you can't call a scrum. Yeah. Now, some people were saying, like, oh, how often does this happen? Because the one famous example from the World Cup was Damien Willems are calling for the scrum from a mark. That virtually never happens.
Yeah, very, very rarely.
That one is very much an exception. I thought that was a cool moment at the World Cup, but it's very much an exception.
Yes.
What happens a lot is scrum goes down, referee gives a short arm, and the team which...
says we're going to scrum got again
the,
here.
Let's just go again.
Yeah.
So there's not going to be no more of that. I feel like that's going to be the main change.
I don't see that many of those these days. Usually if the scrum goes
there's
down...
There's usually one at the start of the game.
You reckon they like give away like...
Yeah, the referee first time goes, don't do that again.
Yeah.
Or I'll penalise, yeah.
So it should just be a straight-on penalty then. And if you want to have a straight-on... If somebody infringes at the ruck, what's the difference between giving a penalty and a free kick? If you infringe at the ruck, it should be a penalty. And then you get down the pitch and you can think, well, I don't know. I don't understand why there would be that many free kicks, you know, at scrums anyway. They really aren't that. How many times a game does it happen, do you reckon, on
average? Not that many free kicks per game. But the overall...
Two and three?
Feeling.
The Marbo of the thing?
The Marbo. A reference to an obscure Australian movie.
It's a great film. The Castle.
The Castle. It is a great movie.
Yeah.
So my read on it was a bit... anti-scrum. And you know I love me a scrum. It was a bit anti-scrum. Yeah. I believe Timmy from Egg Chasers also had... Well, I think he went a little bit of a step further. I think his thumbnail said, World Rugby hates scrums. Wildcard...
They've got rid of all of them! They're gone! At a funeral for scrums.
Wildcard was also not too chuffed.
I know.
So there's a few people who were saying, oh, my freaking God.
They're gone! They're all gone!
And your reaction
God,
to that
I
was,
love them.
You seem to be thinking this is a little bit of an overreaction. It's not that big a deal.
Well, look, I have a different opinion. And people are totally entitled to their opinion.
Look, I read the comments of the video on my channel. A lot of people were like,
yeah, 100%. I've read comments as well.
I don't think I was quite like getting the pitchforks out. I was just, you know, I felt like the Marbo for me is that they're a bit anti-scrum and they keep wanting to kind of legalize certain aspects of rugby. Right?
Yeah.
A lot of the comments were a lot more extreme than that. But then some people were just like, oh, I actually quite like these changes. I think they're all going to be good.
I didn't see many of those. I've seen
a few.
Okay,
trust
that's
me.
Good. Like, I don't mind scrums. I do not mind scrums. And I think they're actually quite entertaining when one team's getting on top of the other team and they battle back and, like, the battle between the front row throughout a game, it can go one side and you think, this team's going to get dominated.
It's a
storyline in itself and it can be really, really interesting. But I get really, really irritated and bored when I watch, you know, 16
resets
and, like, you know, middle of the pitch meetings between the front rows and going, look, we talked about this in the sheds. We need to get a tighter engagement. You guys aren't standing close enough together. And we've got, like, you know, 20,000 people in the stadium, freaking hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people watching at home going, watching these big lads just have a conversation and listen to a little white dude talk about
it. A former halfback who's like, here's how you scrum, boys.
And it's just slow. And, like, for me, like... some people just love it all and they love all the scrums and their whole teams are built around scrums and it's great. That's fantastic. You can like that. For me personally, I am much more of a fan of the breakdown, you know, jackling balls and running rugby. They're my favorite things about the game. You can have favorite things about the game. And if you, your favorite thing about the game is the scrum, sure, you'd be like, oh, that's two less scrums in a game. I wish we could have those two extra scrums. But I personally am like, okay, yeah, I actually like the idea of it just going like that and just a halfback tapping and then just chaos. The ball's out there and we're watching rugby again.
Yeah.
So I like the idea of that. I understand if you've got, an endearment towards scrums or anything like that, I really don't think it's going to have that much of an impact on the game. But the one thing that it's kind of over and I'm hearing over and over and over again, and I'm hearing it from people who clearly don't watch League.
Right.
Is they're turning it into League. I watch League. Watch League every week. It is so different. They're like the scrum is not the defining feature. It is definitely one of the defining features of rugby. But I would argue the amount of players, the amount of phases, and the breakdown. That is the core amount of rugby. Like, watching a game of rugby league is fantastic, but it can be like a great rock song. Mm-hmm. You kind of know it's like an intro, a bridge, a chorus, back to the verse, chorus, verse, chorus, chorus. And you're
like, it's going
to
follow us.
It's going to go. But a game of rugby is like watching a group of incredible musicians sometimes. And sometimes when incredible musicians play, that doesn't quite come right, and it sounds a bit shit, and it's a bit hard to watch. But when it is amazing, it can go anywhere, and it can do anything, and it's so invigorating and amazing to watch. And a scrum is a part of that, but just the span of the field that the rugby players can get around, and where all the players can go. If you watch league, the same players are running up and down the same piece of pitch the whole game.
Right.
If you're a center, you're not really moving too much. You're staying on that same line the whole game. So it's a lot more, you know, a lot more collisions and all that sort of stuff. And I love that sort of stuff. And there is some great running plays and all that sort of shit. But it's so different. If you are making this argument that we're making it more like league, go watch some league. Like, it's a really fun game to watch. It really is. Go watch the State of Origin. That's a really good place to start. But it's a totally different game. Yes, the scrums are complete ass over there. It's just a place for people to actually go together and, you know, congregate a little bit to open up a little bit more space.
At least it opens up a bit more space though, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Same as what it does in Union as well.
And one of the things that I like about this rule now as well is I'm a big fan of fatigue and rugby. You know, I'm a big fan of guys getting buggered out there, and the little guys, we talk about it's a game for all shapes and sizes and all that sort of thing. One of the reasons it's a game for all shapes and sizes is because the big lads get tired and the little guys can take influence at those moments. And that's when you see some of those magic moments towards the end of the game, at the end of the game, when a prop just can't make that tackle, or a little guy eyes light up and they just get through a gap that they can't get through otherwise. It's not the end of the world. We're talking about maybe two or three scrums a game, if that. Like, I don't know. Have I ranted at you enough?
It's not bad.
Was it not a bad rant?
It was all right.
Okay. I'm still going to get a lot of hate for it, I'm sure. As far as it, do you think it's anti-South African? Do you think it's because the South Africans are just too good?
It just feels a little bit that way, because how many teams have you seen call a scrum from a mark in their own 22?
One, but is South that the defining Africa. Feature no, of I think, South like African
I
said, rugby?
I think that was an exception rather than the rule. I think what they are trying to get rid of is those scrum, reset, free kick to you guys, don't do that again. They go again, they do the same thing, or now it's in-game
meeting.
Basically, yeah. Like, and I did see some of the kind of more moderate comments going like, look, I love scrums, but I flip and hate it when it's like reset three times and it takes all day. I just want to watch something else. Like,
it can take the air out of a game. Like, it's an incredible attacking play. There's a knock on, and then, you know, we reset the scrum three times.
But one thing World Rugby does seem to be, they seem to have this idea that the only thing holding rugby back is that it's too slow. And that, like, it needs to be faster. And if it's faster, everyone's going to love rugby. I don't think that's right.
Why do you not think that's right?
Because there's plenty of sports which are stop-start, and that's not like people aren't like, I would just wish this game were faster. Sure, some people are like, man, like the scrums are boring. Like, some people are genuinely like that. At the World Cup, the main thing that people talked to me about was the TMO. Like, people,
I've heard you go on about it.
That's just my anecdotal thing.
It is anecdotal.
It is absolutely anecdotal. There's no data behind it, but like my freaking GP, like a couple of randoms that I used to work with, as you go flaccid again.
We need new boom arms.
I don't. But honestly, nobody was like, Mark, I'm trying to watch the Rugby World Cup, but these scrums are driving me nuts. Zero.
But do you think part of the reason everyone spoke to you about the TMOs of the World Cup was because of the World Cup final? And,
maybe. You know,
and like that was such a moment, like a huge moment for New Zealand. Like, everyone got around the TV, even people who watch one game every 4 years. Exactly. They were watching and they were like, I used to watch rugby with my dad. I don't remember this guy in this box being so. It was this new foreign element that it wasn't there at all. But Like, in terms of people that I speak to, you know, but just going on, people I speak to, some people say, like, it's the biggest bullshit argument you can make in anything. Is like, I've often heard people go, I just can't stand the breakdowns. I just, and I know the breakdowns, I just can't stand the resets and all that sort of shit. And, like, I like speed. Quick game's a good game, you know? And you look at some great sports out there, Gaelic football, incredibly fast. AFL, amazingly fast. NRL, still very fast. Game that is huge, not very fast, NFL.
Right.
You know, so that could be a counter argument. They, you know, they like have a play like once every freaking 3 minutes that goes for 5 seconds.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, there's that argument too.
Yeah, so that's why I'm not necessarily sold. Like just given that rugby at the last World Cup, like the ball and play time was higher, the set piece numbers were lower, and like the fan numbers of viewers and everything were all through the roof. I'm not sure that just like what rugby absolutely needs is just more ball and play.
We can't.
I don't think ball and play in this. I don't think it's a direct relationship. Ball and play time high equals good game.
But I think it's. I think it's a. It's definitely something for me. Like I want to watch more action. Like I want to watch people being. But I mean,
you could watch a ball and play game where it's just like pick and go, pick and go, pick and go, pick and go, pick and go. That's really high ball and play.
It's called rugby league. but. And like I do like a quick game is a good game. You were saying something a moment ago that I triggered. But
ball and play time high doesn't necessarily mean a quick game. It just means more ball and play. That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
I also like a quick game. I love running rugby. I love tries.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't necessarily think that high ball and play means quality.
I know. Okay. This is one thing that people are going, "Oh, the scrums were." The scrums were one of the key parts of that World Cup, and they were so entertaining. We cannot judge the entirety of rugby over the most intense, high-level, stressful, people involved, people engaged. Like, people would have watched, you know, 80 minutes of scrums in that World Cup final if it was all scrums and been on the edge of their seats and thought they had an amazing time because it was so intense and so amazing. In terms of
it's the, more your investment. You're watching your local comp on a Sunday. Yeah,
you're watching
your
local stuff. Well, you're watching some Super Rugby and it's like the reset scrum, you reset scrum, or you're watching NPC stuff, or you're watching schoolboy stuff. Like, there's not that, the stakes aren't there, but you need a good quality product still.
Yes.
You know, if there aren't as many stakes, you're not going to get that sort of investment, you're not going to get that sort of engagement. So you need to make sure the product is really, really good.
Yes.
I think the product is a great product. It's a great product. I don't know, maybe it's just a bit, like every year we have a lot of, you mentioned on your video, but I do agree, is we seem to have every year there's like another three or four rules. There's a lot of tweaking.
Yeah, and that happens again. Like that's another one of the things that I got again from my anecdotal bullshit people, but basically just like, I thought that they couldn't do this. And I'm like, no, they changed that. I'm like, oh, what's this rule about this? Oh, they brought that in last year.
When do they change the points?
Yeah, like people who haven't watched something for 3 years and you're like, well, this is that. No, that's the 50-22. Like that's this new kicking thing. And they're like, oh, what the hell is that? You know what I mean? Like there's a lot of changes.
That's a league rule and like the dropouts are pretty leggy.
That's what I mean. Like that's why I feel like there is this kind of leagueification to a degree going on because they look at league's ball in play and go, ball in play high, good, NRL popular, do this, we will also get fans. I don't think it's necessarily like that one for one.
Do you think it's driven by...
I think Caterpillar Rucks, as some people have pointed out, are worse than free kicks at scrums.
I hate Caterpillar
personally.
Rucks. Personally. Use the correct term if you're going to talk about them. Human centipede.
Human centipede rucks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because they eat ass. All right, did we have a robust debate then?
That's all right. Now, there are a few things which are not...
What we didn't... Okay, Kari, I've got a question for you.
Okay, go.
No, you go.
So there are a few things which are not across the board. There are a few things which are world rugby run competition specific changes coming.
Oh.
20-minute red cards for some competitions.
Love it.
Like the Pacific Nations Cup.
Love it.
Yeah. And
love it.
There's a few changes because this was their meeting in May. They're also having another meeting in November. And some of the things they've got on the agenda are to review the TMO and when like they should be getting involved. We've talked about it before. My preference is threshold for TMO should be quite high.
Yeah.
TMO should only be getting involved in balls up, tried, knocked it on, but the ref didn't see it. maybe guy punched a guy, but the ref didn't see it. Like, even that can wait till after the game, to be honest, if the guy can get away.
So you're not even, okay, so I'm definitely...
Like, forward pass that was marginally forward two phases ago when there was no try score, just bugger off. Yeah, don't need it. Let the game flow.
Tiny little minuscule knock-on that leads to a great try for a classic All Black Aaron Smith and a World Cup final. It was set up beautifully. And
how many phases ago was it?
Which was actually a that would be good. But the argument that we scored 2 minutes later.
Yeah, there was another one where they're going to look at potentially, so this one's just on their agenda. So you know how malls...
Okay, I disagree with you. I think they could be involved with any try-scoring action, a phase up to it. But yeah, I think it's okay if they're involved with any yellow card or red card.
Okay.
Basically. Like, I think that's... Because yellow cards are pretty significant, you know? Okay. You have to be...
Right.
You have to have done something. You know, we've got to protect the head.
Okay.
Dick and brain. Head.
Yep. Yeah.
That.
You done?
No dick shots.
No low blows.
Okay, go on.
Malls. This is just on the agenda. This is not any laws yet, but malls.
Get rid of them. I love them all. Potentially,
and you know, it's like use it. No, sorry, no. That's once, and then that's twice. Now use it. It's just going to be that's once, use it.
Love it.
That's going to be, that's on the agenda.
Love it.
So no use it, no two calls. It's going to be one call, but that's not decided. They're going to.
It's a weird one though, isn't it? Because you see those line out scrums and they go, that's once, and then they get a big shove on and they get the momentum and then they get up.
Yeah, so that one is on the agenda.
Yes.
And then also replacements. Like, what is the optimal number of replacements? It seems like they've got an eye on reducing the number of replacements.
Love it.
Someone, it's only one person, I think, in the comments suggested they should have 10 replacements.
What do they got now?
But you can, like, now eight. It's eight, yeah. 10 replacements, but you can only choose, like, three or something. Ooh. Kind of like football does it. You know, you got a bunch of replacements, you got to pick and choose.
Yeah.
I do who's like the right idea man? Of, like, the strategy behind that. Like, do we bring on a prop? Or do we bring on this, like, you know, gun outside back kind of thing?
I miss watching guys completely. Oftentimes guys are completely gassed at the end of rugby. It's a very tiring game.
Yeah.
But I like it when they're really, really, when it's every game, people are out on their feet. Like, I remember playing and you'd be in the last 10 minutes of a game and you're just absolutely shattered. You have no idea how you're getting to rucks, but you think it is. And when you're at schoolboy level, you'd ask the ref, like, how much longer? And he'd say, like, about 4 minutes. And he'd be like, oh, God.
Yeah.
Because you couldn't see a clock. You had no idea. No, you were just waiting for a guy to blow a whistle. And you'd be like, oh, God, I can get some hot chips.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, that's interesting.
But yeah, none of those are set in stone yet. But basically, everything that World Rugby, I think, put on the agenda for May, they've done. So these are the things that are on the agenda for November.
What I think World Rugby needs to do...
Although, no, the 20-minute red cards were on the agenda for May, but they didn't get across the board. They've just been in World Rugby competitions.
You know what I'd like to see World Rugby
under
do?
Under-20s and stuff.
As my microphone doesn't droop. I would like to see World Rugby... open. This isn't even about the laws of the game or anything like that, but I would like to see them reverse a lot of their draconian rules around working with content creators like us, you know, like in terms of being able to advertise their product, get it in front of more eyeballs, engage with audiences that they wouldn't usually engage with. They are the most backward baby boomer muppets that you, and they completely ruined, but they really dropped the
Cup. I think they just outsourced the content control to a company who specializes.
They fumbled the bag.
Yeah, they didn't keep it in house. I'm pretty sure they just gave it to a company who specializes in, like,
being dicks
and basically making sure nobody's using any of your footage ever. Like, remember, Squidge got pinged for that at least once or twice during the World Cup.
I think it was a great shame because his content,
shooting yourself in the foot.
His
right?
content is amazing, especially
like the
at
best
World Cup.
Ad for
absolutely.
Mm.
You know, and I think his content is a certain type of person loves it, and then it's not even necessarily a rugby hardcore.
Yeah, that's right.
Squidge stuff because they can actually watch his content and be like, I've never actually
noticed that. I watch his videos and I'm like, holy moly.
There are pods?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I hate the pods. I can't be buggered looking for the pods. I mean, you can see them sometimes. You see where guys are standing, yeah, but yeah. I don't take notes. Of well, this team always puts...
It's not as obvious as a football formation.
Yeah.
When they say it's a 3-4-3 and you're like...
Yeah.
It looks like a back line.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But I think a lot of it does, and he also does, he pulls on the heartstrings a little bit. He would have got, it would have helped a lot of people. And the fact that they pulled that South African vid, like, that was an absolute damn shame.
Yeah.
Because there was one, the World Cup in Japan, I think he got to just go carte blanche and cover whatever he wanted.
I think so, because he was working like, for them.
Yeah, he was almost like a protected species, and yeah. He could do whatever he wanted.
That's why I'm saying, I feel like the world rugby people that he works with, this is just me speculating, like at the world rugby social media team, didn't have anything to do with the copyright stuff because I think they just outsourced it and they were just like, if you see anything, just flog it. So that's what they did.
Like people like retweeting like amazing moments on Twitter. That is what sport and social media are meant to sort of intertwine.
Yeah, world rugby is a bit backwards in that regard.
Yeah.
Sky Sports in New Zealand have been pretty bad for that as well. They're like, they are the ones.
That's
like,
ours.
Years ago, they would ping Squidge's videos because, like, he had 3 seconds of footage. Like, nope, not allowed.
I've never put any footage in any of my videos.
Good. Keep it that way.
Are you listening, Bill?
I think Bill got an award or something the other day.
Services to the internet.
Exactly.
Mm.
Some Super Rugby.
Oh, it was a great weekend.
It's a great weekend.
Far out.
If you're not watching Super Rugby, if you haven't skipped already, honestly.
Oy.
It's the best season in
Donkey's
years. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, was it Saturday night? Oh, that was a great two back-to-back massive
two
clashes.
Two back-to-back New Zealand derbies, Blues.
That'll
Hurricanes,
kill your boner.
26,000 fans there.
Yeah, we're good. We finally got some decent crowds, and boy, did our media let you know about it.
Exactly.
But yeah,
they don't let you know the numbers when the crowds are not great, but when there's more than 20,000
people. There's
18
people here today.
Exactly. John.
FMG Stadium. There's Mark. Mark, we were going to have 17. He was going to bring his son, but he decided to play Nintendo Switch instead.
Exactly.
But no, there was... Where do you want to start?
Top of the table clash, Blues, Hurricanes.
Test match intensity.
Afternoon game.
Oh, we've had some cracking... Like, it's getting cold. It's getting cold. But
the mornings are brisk, but the days are beautiful.
Oh, it's great golf weather.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. It's been...
Never played golf in my life, but I did play mini golf for Mother's Day.
Oh, really?
My brother's idea was we'll take the... Take the old girl and the old boy out to mini golf in the city for some reason.
Oh, yeah.
Down by the waterfront.
Oh, yeah. The
Holy
near,
moly.
Near Parnell.
Yeah.
You come down Parnell
just
Horizon
down by the
off
waterfront.
There.
Yeah.
Oh, how was it fun?
It was all right.
You don't look like you had a good time.
It seems like an odd place to go to play a mini golf.
Well, there's mini golf all over the shop.
Exactly. There's a lot better places to play than the middle of town.
Why are you such an old grumpy
Because I had
bastard?
To drive up to the sixth floor of a parking building.
Oh, that must have been really tough.
It was tough.
You bring the kids?
I had to bring the kids, of course.
And then they were whinging?
They weren't whinging. I was whinging.
Why are we going here? Bloody... What's your brother's name?
Scott.
Scott. What an asshole.
You know what was
like
funny?
I'm channeling heat here.
I had like a... I had a good moment. Like, I never hunt for car parks. Like, if the sign says there's two car parks that way, I'm like, screw you, I'm going higher. Like, I just went straight to the sixth, and there were tons of car parks on the sixth.
But then you're walking down, you're like, oh.
Well, there's an elevator, but I'm really whinging about nothing. But when my brother got there, apparently, like, he and my sister-in-law were like, oh, is there a spot? And then they would, like, drive around, and by the time they would get there, it would be taken. And my mum was in their car, was just like, for God's sake, just go higher. You know, like, just keep going up. Like, why are you hunting when there's only two spots, when if you keep going, there'll be guaranteed spots?
So she had the...
She's in my camp for, like, the park-finding method.
But it's interesting. She's not a prick like you, though. But
I get the car park finding side, but also the prick finding side.
Oh, yeah.
Also, calling the car park a car park is also a uniquely New Zealand thing, I believe.
What do they call it? Space.
Yeah, parking space. The car park is the building or like the
like
lot.
It's like a park of cars.
Yeah, but not the actual spot. Like
really?
In New Zealand, we call the individual place, like that's my car park, right?
Are you sure?
Yes, because Viva La Dirt League did a video about it and everyone was like, do you guys call that whole thing, like the individual spot a car park? Yeah, the rest
I'm
of the
looking
world,
for a park. People don't say that anywhere else.
If it's the actual like whole lot, yes.
Parking spot?
Yeah, spot or space, but not car park. The car park is just the bigger thing.
I've
not the individual.
Lived overseas, and I've never noticed this. And I would have said, can you find a park anywhere around there to park?
Then maybe you find a place to park? Yes.
What do you just go? Oh, I don't want to go there. Parking shit. What did you say then?
I don't know.
What were we talking about? We're talking about rugby.
We were.
How good was Super Rugby?
Super Rugby was great. I found the car park.
And the basking sunshine. Yes, was great.
In Auckland.
Yeah, yeah. We've had some great.
It was
great.
Tit for tat.
Yeah.
We were in the
lead.
They were in the lead. TJ got a try. Had a bad haircut.
Counter punch and counter punch. Just said the exact same thing you said in a different way. Yeah, that's the quality content you get on.
That's why you listen to this podcast.
Gets distracted. But no, it was great to see. Hoskins Tutu was amazing. Plummer, the never man, played in very well.
His goal kicking used to be genuinely awful. Like there's not many guys that I would look at goal kicking and go, give him a run for his money, but he used to be that bad.
He used to be a B grade, B plus grade.
He was like a sub who might come on at 10, at 12. Oh, God, and you're like, oh, God, Plummer's taking the kick to win it. No.
But I'd like him to kick for my life.
100%,
right now.
Man. He was 100% from the tee.
And he defended well. That try that he, stop that he did on Ruben Love in the corner.
Caleb Clark got a try saving tackle.
Yeah, some
and,
great
Plummer got a try saving tackle. It was barnstorming game.
What's his name? Oh, God. Halfback scored the most tries of all time.
TJ Perenata.
He's looking pretty sharp.
My mum doesn't like him.
What? Your mum?
Yeah, she said to the game, I don't like him. What?
He's
like,
very
arrogant.
He's
very, like, oh,
well. Well, he's very lippy, eh?
Yeah, halfback, I guess. Kind of comes with the territory.
It's got to be.
Yeah.
I don't mind the look of Funaki at number 9.
Oh, he's great. He's looked better than Christie did.
Where's Christie?
For sure.
Is he injured?
Yeah.
All right.
I hope he's
Funaki's
injured
looking good.
Funaki's been playing.
When Perifetta comes back, where do you put him?
Yeah, it's a good question.
Put him to number 15 because they just lost Arne Sullivan?
Maybe, yeah. But then Cole Forbes has been playing the house down as well.
Cole Forbes, I think, has looked pretty good as an impact player, to be honest.
But he's been starting the last few weeks when Sullivan's been out. He's been all right.
Blues
top of the table, folks.
And it went to the very end of the game. Like, we're talking a lot about the Blues.
We're defending on the line at the death. It was...
And we just ripped it out of their hands.
Yeah, exactly. It was Sam Knock got the turnover at the end.
It was massive.
Great stuff. If you haven't watched the highlights, please go watch it. It was great.
It was a cracking game. And then there was a bloody cracking game straight on afterwards.
Crusaders.
Different end of the table, but it felt
Highlanders, who were sitting in 7th, which is still a playoff spot out of 12 teams. Crusaders just out of it. If they get a win, then they're going to potentially
give
themselves into
chance.
The playoffs. Highlanders haven't beaten New Zealand team for like 3 years.
21 games.
21 games.
I think it's
unbelievable
games.
Record. They just can't beat New Zealand teams.
They're a bit like any Australian team. And before this year, to be fair. Before this year.
The Blues were like that for a while.
Yeah,
there was a while
where
we just couldn't beat New Zealand teams.
Yeah.
The Highlanders have been like that. But then they beat the Crusaders 32-29.
And it was another great
and
game.
And that guy Cam Miller, the young number 10, just kept kicking penalties and scored a try. It was great.
Yeah, it was lovely. Yeah, he does look wet.
And the Crusaders actually had a couple of their big guys. They had Tamaiti Williams back. They had Cody Taylor back.
Cody Taylor made an impact.
Yeah, exactly.
Tamaiti Williams, where did he put in, like 38 minutes?
Something like that, yeah.
Before, I think one of the bright spikes for the Crusaders this year has actually been George Bauer. He came on at that point. He looks all right. He looks like he's trying hard. But every week you're kind of going, it's the Crusaders, they can do this.
Exactly.
They've lost to the Force.
They've lost to the Force, yes.
They lost to the Druid. They beat the Rebels? Didn't they beat the Rebels?
I think they beat the Rebels. Yes, they did. They flogged them.
They beat the Rebels and they beat the Chiefs.
That's right, at home.
And they've lost to everybody.
Everybody else. Literally everybody else. The Crusaders, at the moment, are sitting in the 11th out of 12 teams.
Yeah.
They have 14 points, but 17 points would get them. 17 points is the team in the playoffs. That's the draw.
And they got one of the best, and one of New Zealand's best.
So they're only one
midfield
win.
Is at number 10.
They're only one win from getting into the playoffs, which still seems ridiculous when you're literally two wins
the
out
draw,
of 11
if they
games.
Won this weekend, that would have given them grief. But the draw
but the draw didn't. But the Crusaders' next couple of games
aren't easy.
Brumbies away.
Yes.
Blues at home.
Ba-boom.
And then they've got Moana Pacifica at home. So they've got potentially one guaranteed win. Maybe even nowadays. The Moana Pacifica is above them, so not even guaranteed. But one kind of easy game, and then two games against teams in the top three.
They almost need to win 3 out of 3, don't they?
Well, they're only a few points behind eighth, so not really.
But everybody
really.
Else plays those teams too.
I suppose so. You know? But I mean, so, if the Drua.
If they win one out of those three, they're not going
to
make it.
Probably not. They need to either beat us or the Brumbies.
Oh, geez.
Not looking likely right now. Please don't let them make the eight. I've just got this thing.
Oh, no. Don't say it. This
Blues
is how damaged won. We are. This is
Blues
how
one, Crusaders eight, and come then they to Ian Park and they just knock us out. I can see it. It's happened before. Well,
that would kill me. That would crush me. Honestly, that would be too much. Too much for me if that was the case.
Yeah,
you know. Get dog roll back.
Yeah.
It would be.
There were other games.
But to be honest, like, they don't look like a good team. Like, they look. They obviously have lost to a lot of teams.
Yeah.
They don't. They're trying hard.
Sevier Rees looks really good.
Yeah, Sevier Rees looks really good. Tino. I said his name completely wrong. The Fijian winger for the
Highlanders. Tavatava Nawai.
Yeah, exactly what I said. Tavatava Nawai.
Timothy Tavatava Nawai.
By the way,
is it? Oh, because it's a C as a TH. Yeah, Timothy.
Yeah, yeah.
Tavatava
Nawai. Like South knocking big, knocking book.
Fijian has a few. Yep. Like there's a missing N. There's an invisible N. In some
okay,
of those
okay,
names.
Okay,
anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, but anyway, supposed to be you getting distracted. This is the Fijian Language Podcast.
Brought to you by Thou Thou Nokamuka. Joe Rokathoko. But no, what was I going to say before you took me down this?
Sevier Rees is looking
Sevier
good.
Sevier Rees looks good. But he's a small man, and when he's surrounded by players, he's going to beat one, but he's going to get, he might get two, but he's going to get taken. Like, but if you put in space, he's electric, he's amazing. Yeah. But they just don't seem to have enough go forward and enough attacking penetration. Like, they just don't look like a threat. They were trying so hard throughout that whole game. They were putting everything into it, but they just don't look that dangerous.
Mm.
They're not a dangerous, scary
I remember their try scoring numbers are pretty low.
Yeah, they're just.
And, like, a lot of them are Sevier Rees.
Oh.
Like, without him, I think they're probably last.
Yeah. He's putting himself in the All Black picture
for sure.
But
even though he's at that age where we start going, we're doing the Leonardo DiCaprio. You're a bit old.
Yeah, exactly. So he
27. Jesus.
But they haven't had a 10 all year. Well, they've had Ho Hepa. Now they've got David Harvelli.
Yeah.
Who did they bring on at the end to go in?
Yeah, the other guy.
Oh, great.
Ray Hunter.
Yeah, it might have been. There you go. Almost got you. Drummond is only playing a bit part now at number 9.
Yeah.
Their
injury list, so one of the Crusaders fans I think said last week, we didn't give enough attention to how bad they're in. Like, they haven't had Cody Taylor, because Cody Taylor actually took the sabbatical, I'm not going to play.
Non-playing sabbatical.
Yeah, which is rare these days. We talked about it the other time about how that's what it used to be with McCaw and Carter and whatnot, but everyone else these days just goes, give me the ching.
Yeah.
Cody Taylor actually took non-playing sabbatical.
And he played really well on the weekend.
Tamati Williams has been injured since round one. They've got no Will Jordan this season. Like, who's their number 10? Fergus Burke. Like, they've had so many guys not available. It is...
That's rugby.
It is rugby. They've probably had it a bit worse than
Race some
of the others.
Coach, are they in the top eight? With the same
I think so.
You've got to say.
Yeah, he's always been able to get more out of the team. Like, he took that Todd Blackadder Crusaders team who'd constantly been in the playoffs and made finals
just couldn't
and stuff.
Make it.
And just took them to the next level. So that's what he does.
Quite incredible. You know what's irritating about the 7-year stretch that they had? Before that, they were already probably the most successful Super Rugby franchise.
And they just got more successful. I had to explain to my son the other day. I was like, son, the Blues have won Super Rugby 3 times.
Yeah.
The Hurricanes have won once. The Highlanders have won once. And the Chiefs have won twice. That's 7, son. The Crusaders, son. Because he was like, I want the Crusaders to win when we were watching the Highlanders game. I was like, the Crusaders have won it for 7 years in a row, son. 7 years. I was like, do you know who won Super Rugby last year, son? He's like, who? The Crusaders. The year before that? He's like, who? Crusaders. We just did that game.
My daughter has not lived in a world where the Crusaders were not the...
My daughter is the same. My son has had 1 year. 1 year of his life. When he was still in nappies.
Stop the tyranny!
Exactly. Down with the Crusaders.
Imagine if they somehow beat Arsenal and pull out 3 arsey wins. And no. Like, honestly, I can see a world where it happens. Yeah, exactly. And we just...
sit there and take it.
Like, we sit there and we put a camera in ourselves and we just cry for an hour and people go, that's that podcast.
Exactly. There were other games. The Chiefs flogged Moana Pacifica.
Didn't watch it.
43-7. The Reds kind of scraped past the Rebels, 26-22. That was scrappy.
The Reds, yeah.
Rebels have been in kind of patchy form. And
but it was another game that went down to the wire.
Yeah, it was a good game.
Yeah.
But going into it, it's like Reds are in pretty good form. Rebels, not so much. Reds are at home. They should. It's one kind of in a canter. The Reds are in this weird position where they're fifth. Yeah. They're like not quite up with the Chiefs. There's quite a few points between them and the Chiefs, but there's like quite a few points between them and the Rebels below them. They're like in this weird spot where like you're like the Reds, they can beat anybody, but
they can
also cock it up.
And they beat the bloody, they ran one of maybe
the games
one of,
that they've lost have been in like overtime and stuff.
One of the best games of the year, they
Hurricanes won.
Well, they beat the Hurricanes, but then the
but didn't they lose the Hurricanes in overtime?
No, they was to us. It wasn't overtime. I don't know. They lost a heartbreaker to us.
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought they lost to the Hurricanes in like Golden Point.
No, the Hurricanes.
The Brumbies beat the Hurricanes.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
So they ran.
But then
they
lost to Moana Pacifica.
So
that's what I mean. They're all over the shop.
Yeah. Well, that's just a week where they go in and they take it for granted.
Maybe.
I think they could still be a dangerous.
For sure. Nobody's going to want to draw them. Waratahs lost to the Brumbies. Both teams were wearing white. 29-21.
They were wet. Honestly, it was a wet t-shirt contest and white shirt.
Goodness sake! Super Rugby's been doing this for years. They don't have
Indigenous round, but like they
could have round. Like honestly, they need some kind of like policy. Like all your away kits.
I love it when you do this under your glasses.
Just make it that like. I mean, I guess the Brumbies wear white, so everyone needs to have an away kit which is white, except the Brumbies who needs to be black or something like that.
Just a bit of forethought, just saying, okay, when we design this shirt, we've actually got them this weekend.
Yeah. Just a little bit of forethought. It's not hard.
Yeah, and like, let's just make sure we get the designer to design this beautiful shirt. Like, they were lovely shirts.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
It's I feel like it's just...
They're both wearing navy, exactly the same shorts.
Exactly, the exact same shorts. It seems like... They just let all the teams do their own thing. And then they just show up and go, we're wearing this shirt today. Like, oh, okay. Like, Hurricanes come to the Blues and like, we're wearing black today.
I guess like in any business, there's always things that happen. And then you go, oh, I should have really thought about that.
Yeah.
Because there's so many things you got to be over. There's so many things you're running. There's so many logistics, administrations, pay.
Everything's
yada, yada,
more complicated than what it
looks.
Yeah.
And then you're like, there's one little detail. And then it comes to the fore, and then that's what the public sees, and you're like...
How did you cock that up? What are you guys thinking?
We had to communicate with the Brumbies about Indigenous round. Like, we've both got... our jerseys never really clashed.
Yeah,
like
we've got a corporate agreement that we have to wear it this round.
Yeah,
already promised them,
Actually think that... You know, I can see that would...
Yes.
It was just a muck-up.
It was just a muck-up. But it happens too much.
Really? How often do you see that
every Super Rugby season it happens. I've been doing Super Rugby videos since 2018.
I've been covering more Super Rugby games than you've had hot dinners.
There was one year where the Blues home kit was light blue and our away kit was dark blue. Like, they're both blue, you morons. And we went to Cape Town and played the freaking Stormers who wear blue. Like, what's your problem, you stupid idiots? For God's sake, you need to pick a different color.
Why don't you get like this in front of the whiteboard?
Oh, for God's sake, it's just so stupid. I just don't understand
I'm happy with them doing it, just to see you have a breakdown.
It happens every year. They still haven't learned. I just don't understand it. It doesn't make sense to me. It's not hard. Even my kids know colors.
My cheeks are getting sore.
Okay, so they played a game of rugby and it rained a lot. It
rained
was a
waterlogged
pitch.
And it was a good game.
It was a good game.
What? They were all good games.
They were good. Well, yeah.
It was like, one thing I noticed about that. I'll talk about the rugby for a second to stop you in the middle of your nervous breakdown.
Sorry.
One thing I noticed was the Waratahs look really, really great with their penetrative attack from deep and they could cut them open.
Yeah.
But the Brumbies just scramble. scramble really well and then defend their line like demons. Whereas the Brumbies were a little bit more traditional the way they made down the field. But then they were just, the Waratahs just let in soft tries.
Yeah, some of their tries really soft.
Really soft.
And that's been the story of their season, sadly.
Just a little bit of attitude on D. Yeah. You know, it's just as easy as that, guys.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Give this man the job.
I would have gone out there with a positive and can-do attitude. Set Derek Coleman and
put Tony in charge.
Yeah.
There you go. The last one was the Force, who are pretty good at home.
Yes.
They've beaten the Reds at home. They've beaten the Crusaders at home. They're not very good on the road.
No.
And then they played the Drua, who genuinely haven't won a game all season on the road.
Who are okay at home.
Yes.
So it's
like they're good at home, they're bad away.
And they absolutely pumped them.
48-10.
And like it was actually...
that was the best rugby I think I've ever seen the Western Force play.
The Drua... were looking all right in the second half and they were coming back into it 17-10 or something like that.
Yeah.
But then they just ripped the lights out of them. You know who I'm really enjoying watching for the Force?
Ben Donaldson.
Yes, Ben Donaldson.
Curtly Beale. Oh, yeah, he was electric.
His passing game.
You know, when they signed him, I was like, geez, the Force likes signing these old buggers. Like, they love a guy... At the golden end of his career. And it's like he cashes the paycheck, but then he's been really good.
Ben Donaldson and... Curly Beale.
Yeah.
Sneakies for the Wallaby squad. Joe Schmidt was in attendance.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah. Like the what he puts it on it.
I know.
He
puts beautiful. On a black,
like pretty you can beautiful. Just get him in the midfield just doing that sort of stuff. He hasn't got that he's not a slouch.
No.
But you
doesn't have that the acceleration he used to have.
This is what you see in the NRL because it's a great game that we should make our game more like. But what you see is these old guys play in their mid-30s
right.
who are playmakers.
Right.
And when they come in, like Sean Johnson, well, not even the Warriors haven't been going so well, but they'd come in and they'd have electric footwork, incredible pace. But just as they get older and they're, you know, they really stretch them out to like 36, 37, all that sort of thing, they just turn it into like incredible passes and playmakers.
Right.
You know, and they don't have that same agility and speed or anything like that. But they're still incredibly valuable.
They can probably read the game better than they could when they were youngsters. We don't
do that so much in rugby union. But like, I think there is a space for those players, for those guys who just know the right strings to pull at the right time, who play with a huge amount of intelligence and have seen it all before.
That was Johnny Sexton, wasn't it?
Yeah.
100%. He was like stuck in the mud when he was running.
100%.
But boy, could that guy pull the strings of a backline.
100%. And we, yeah. And that's a rarity, you know, like a guy playing for that long.
Mm.
But there's no reason why they can't.
It's true.
Because, you know, getting them to, you know, they kind of have that idea of like a playmaker should be able to play in a dinner suit.
Right.
You know, like they're not there to get freaking hammered.
Pummeled, yeah, exactly. Oh, Super Rugby's been very entertaining.
What have we got this week, though?
Hurricanes are playing Moana Pacifica, so that should be a romp home for the Hurricanes.
Sorry, I'd love to, like, go... It would be nice to be like...
Whoa. Moana Pacifica started the season with a little bit of like, oh,
maybe.
Not really. Getting but, I mean, worse. They're 10th. They're ahead of the Crusaders, and they're ahead of the Waratahs.
Okay. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Rebels are playing the Chiefs at home. So the Rebels are home in Melbourne.
Rebels, it's going to be, I think they'll probably be in it for about 60 minutes before the Chiefs run away with it.
Drua are hosting the Reds.
Ooh.
No, yeah. Just in the scheme of things for the Drua, like I said, like it's on 17 game. Points, bro, they need some points because though the Crusaders lost, they got a losing bonus point. So they at least are closing the gap. Between them and the playoffs.
And the Reds are coming right.
I mean, the Force won a game, so...
Reds are used to hot weather, too. Not quite as hot.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to go the Drua.
I feel like the Drua beat them at home last year, but yeah.
I'm going to go the Drua at home.
Brumbies home, play the Crusaders.
it's hard, eh? Because every week you just go...
On form, you should... That,
just
you,
like Brumbies.
You're picking number like, 3 against number 11.
Yeah, like and we should just be like the Moana Silver, you're like... And you're like
yeah, oh, well, they're going to get flogged. Yeah, but
just this thing in the back of my mind's like, it's the Crusaders.
Yeah, they could still win. They could come right at any moment.
Yeah, they've hurt me so much.
Yes, exactly.
But I'm going to go Brumbies.
Yeah, Blues are hosting the Highlanders.
Be a good tight... tussle, but we should win it by more than 13 points.
And then also with the playoff race, the Force, who are good at home,
Yes.
Are hosting the bottom place Waratahs. So the Force win, they get into the playoffs, but it depends on what happens with other results.
Yeah.
But they could pass the Drew if the Drew lose to the Reds. So there's a lot for them to still fight for.
Wow. Mm. Tars didn't look that bad in the weekend.
Yeah. Tars are real patchy.
Yeah, and the Waratahs.
Even within
where is it being played, sorry?
In Perth.
Ah, I give it the Force, eh? If they can take that form.
The only team the Waratahs beaten is the Crusaders twice. You know what's
good, though? A lot of times, I remember last year, I'd make these calls, and I'd be like, boom, this is what's going to... I'm not a gambler, but I felt very, very comfortable with my calls. And then they were usually pretty damn spot on.
Yeah.
But all these, I'm like...
There's a bit of doubt.
Yeah,
which is what it should be.
Yeah, you know, it's good. It's good stuff.
Yes.
Anything else happening?
Did
in the
you
world
watch any other rugby?
Women's rugby. The Black Ferns absolutely spanked the US.
Yes.
Didn't watch it. Heard about it.
I watched the second half.
What happened? Anything of note happened in the IRC?
Leinster had lost two games in a row because they had fielded their B side because they were saving the A side for the Champions Cup. And when they played their A side, they beat these boys, the Ospreys, 61-14. That game was 14-all for a while, and then it wasn't.
Yeah, it seems that way. Oh, God, that's...
they flogged them.
That's a fair few points.
There's the IRC's also got... It's got
45 points they just slammed on them?
Yeah, basically.
Holy.
There's a real race in the IRC for, like... It's similar to Super Rugby in terms of those last few playoff spots. There's a few teams, like the Lions, Connacht, I think the Ospreys, Benetton... There's a few of them kind of in the hunt, and only a couple of them can make it, and a couple of them are gonna miss out. But yeah, the Bulls won. Watched the Stormers play the Dragons. That one was tight for a while, and the Stormers, who had just been playing rubbish, were just like, "Hey, maybe we should play good and catch the ball now."
Oh,
and they were like,
good.
"Oh, let's do that." And then they
that's what I'd say if I was a coach. Play good and catch the ball.
Yep. So they beat them 44-21.
Scarlet. Where are they? Let's see, Welsh team. What are they?
The Scarlets are awful. All the Welsh teams, barring the Ospreys, are doing pretty badly. The Scarlets lost.
How am I team Munster going?
Munster are doing incredible. They started the season awful. I think they've won 7 games in a row now because they don't have Champions Cup rugby to worry about. They're focusing all on the IRC. They beat Connacht 47-12.
I've done a lot of thumbs up. Tell me when, because I'll watch finals.
There's 2 rounds left of the regular season.
Yes.
And then it's playoffs time.
Nice.
So.
Okay. When do we got the Champions Cup final?
26th of May, 1:45 in the morning, our time. You'll watch it delayed. I'll be watching that one live, but just so you know, Champions Cup organisers, that time sucks.
And I know you're thinking about the New Zealand audience.
Exactly.
That's a huge market. Huge market. There's 6 of us down here.
1:45 in the morning.
Woo!
That's too late for me to stay up, but too early.
Because if it was like 11:45, you'd be like,
I'll just stay up.
I'll have a late night.
Yeah. If it was 4 in the morning, I was like, oh, geez, I'll just get up. I'll go to bed really early. But 1:45 is just awful.
Because you go to bed, you have a power nap.
You can only power nap, and then you're pretty much obliged to go back to sleep. After 2 hours of watching rugby.
And then it's sort of that weird sort of mid... not
the sun's wee probably,
smalls.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know.
And then your kids are going to wake you up half an hour later.
Basically.
And so then you
sucks.
Should,
it's going to be a crap day.
And then you should go shoot yourself in the nuts. It would have been much nicer to go to bed at like 2 in the morning.
It would have been.
Dreams.
There's one result which I haven't seen, but it happened in the Premiership. Northampton against Gloucester. I'll give you a clue. It was a big scoreline.
Are we talking record scoreline?
Pretty big scoreline.
There's a game. I've got to guess it.
Yeah, club rugby kind of scoreline.
Did we get 6 figures?
It was not quite 3 figures, but it wasn't that far away.
I'm gonna say 89-3.
You're close. It was 90-0.
Ooh.
Now that is...
Oh, actually, I think I saw something on Twitter when they were getting absolute pants.
And they went for a penalty and they missed it, I think. I didn't see the game.
Who did they play, sorry?
Northampton against Gloucester.
That is an absolute outrage.
I don't know what happened there. I didn't see it, sorry.
That's
but that shouldn't be happening in professional league. Like, even the top Super Rugby team doesn't beat the bottom Super Rugby team by that much.
Holy smokes.
Someone explain to me what happened because I haven't seen it.
I remember the Crusaders.
Super Rugby used to have those score lines Crusaders way back in the day.
The Reds in the 90s one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They talked about that. All the players were like, that was just one of those games where every pass was just a winner. And like every tackle was broken kind of thing. And
the Reds just...
Like everything went wrong for one team, everything went right for the other.
Maybe that was what happened.
Maybe.
Northampton, eh? Wow.
Sorry, Gloucester.
Why did they go for the penalty?
I don't actually know. I think I saw something on Twitter that was like they go for the penalty to kind of spare the embarrassment and they miss it. If that didn't happen, I'm sorry.
Oh well. And that's rugby for another week, yeah?
Yes.
Anything else of note?
I think that's pretty much it.
Yeah, and make sure you tell us about your strange games you played at school.
Mm.
We're interested.
You ever play You Show Me Yours, I'll Show You Mine?
We play that after every episode of this. Exactly. He shows me his arsehole, I show him my dick.
But why?
This is on your channel.
It's on my channel.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You know what?
By the way.
Okay, I won't say what I'm about to say.
I recently did a Two Cents on Tour video.
And you made
haven't seen it. Because you didn't comment.
Oh, hold on. I sent the thumbnail, and the thumbnail is, I am Paul.
Yeah, this is literally the security guard. I ran into him, right?
Was that racist the way I did the impression?
Yes, it was very racist. I ran into this guy, and I asked him in Chinese, like, what's that tower behind you? And he just gives me this real dismissive answer in Chinese, like, it's just a tower. It's not open yet. Like, basically telling me, get out of here.
Bugger off.
And then he just started speaking English. Like in small town China.
Oh, really?
It'd be the equivalent of going like to Rotorua.
Someone just
speaks French. Like a security guard who's not French, just speaks French. Like not great French, but passable French.
Yeah.
Like the dude just spoke English for some reason. He's like, I'm really poor. I only earn 2,400 yuan a month, which is like $400 American. It's not a lot, of money.
It's about 800 New Zealand.
Something like that. It's not a lot of dosh.
Not a huge amount.
No. I mean, it's livable in China, but to put it for context, I worked in China when I was 21 years old in like 2005. I was on 3,000.
Right.
That's a long time ago.
What was he on again, sorry?
2,400.
Okay.
No, 2,600.
So you're on something similar when inflation.
20 years ago.
And you were qualified to be a toilet cleaner at the time.
Basically. I just graduated university.
Well, you had a degree.
I don't know if he's got a degree, but he speaks English. So check that out. It was a good chat. It was random.
Yeah.
But he was like, I'm really poor.
Yeah. I saw the thumbnail. I was like, I'll get to it, Mark.
It's 30 minutes long, so.
Oh, really?
It's a slog. I tried to keep it simple. My initial edit was 37 minutes, and I cut it down.
Dude, I've got a little bit of time on my hands over the next little while.
So you want to edit one of my videos?
Yeah. Let me make one of your videos super weird. We're doing 2 cents.
What if like that's the one video that goes really popular?
2 cents on tour, the distracted edit. Who wants to see it? You know, we're probably not going to give me comments on that because it's right at the end of the video.
And everyone's already switched off. Well, but if you stayed, you're a champ. I appreciate you.
And boy, you look good in that shirt. You really do.
Or not shirt, if you're hot. Because
maybe we're arousing enough for that person to take their shirt off.
Oh, sweaty. Goodness gracious.
Holy.
All right, come on. Go show me yours. Right. I'll show you mine.
Yeah, fantastic.
All right, take care, folks.
Hadidah.